When I was a kid, I had an older brother. Well, I still have an older brother, but when I was a kid, my older brother used to pick on me, like many older brothers would pick on their younger siblings. My older brother, Chuck, used to pick on me rather meanly, and there was a period of time when he and I were staying in the same room. We had bunk beds. And because I had a habit of getting up in the middle of the night and walking around as a kid, it wasn't a good idea for me to be on the top bunk. I would dive off of it. One time Chuck said he saw me go diving like I was going into a pool, right off of the top bunk onto the floor. So I was sleeping on the bottom bunk and Chuck was on the top, which was a disaster for me personally because my brother liked to hang over the edge of the bed and bother me during the middle of the night. He would drop things on me like bugs or toys or stuffed animals, or all sorts of stuff that he shouldn't have been doing. And it just made me furious. I would get so upset, and I would be so angry. And my brother would also tend to sort of beat up on me a little bit, like older brothers would often do to their younger brothers. It happened a lot, actually. And that continued for quite a while. It got to the point where I resented him, and I got angry, and I was upset. And I can remember one time talking with Mother, and Mother was trying to convince me that I needed to forgive my brother. He had done something awful to me. I don't remember what it was, but I remember standing there, and I was trying to save up more spit to throw at my brother. I was really mad, and Mom said, "Greg, you've got to forgive him, because he's your brother. You love him." "I don't want to forgive him." "You've got to forgive him because he's your brother and you love him." Looking back on those events many, many years ago now, 45, 50 years ago, I look back on those times and I remember how angry I would get at my brother. And yet it is true, I love him. And so I couldn't possibly continue to hold anger and bitterness against him, because you know what? It was only hurting me. It was only in the end hurting me. And so I had to forgive him again and again and again during my childhood years, during my youth years and my adult years. Forgive and forgive and forgive. Because why? Because I loved him and he was my brother. And so I forgave him. How many times should we forgive our sisters and brothers in Christ? How many times should we forgive? That's a good question. Peter asked Jesus, as many as seven times? Should we forgive seven times? Forgiving someone as many as seven times for a sin they have repeatedly committed is a lot. Some people are habitual sinners, and so you may have to forgive them again and again and again. In the ancient world, forgiving three times was considered the standard. You forgave three times, and after a third time, that was it. You didn't have to forgive anymore. It was over with. They should have learned their lesson by three times. Sometimes I hear people saying, "I'll forgive you once and only once, and after that, that's it." But Jesus was clear. Grace in forgiveness calls forth from us far more than just a single time of forgiveness, far more than three times of forgiveness, even far more than Peter's super forgiveness of seven times. Jesus said, not seven times, but 77 times. That's not a literal number, friends. Some of the early versions of the New Testament rendered that differently. Some said 77 times, some said 70 times and seven, and some said 70 times seven times. The point is that there is no limit to how many times we're called to forgive someone. 7, 77, or 490 times, it matters not. We're called to always be forgiving. We're called to always forgive. That was the point of this parable. It doesn't matter the amount or the number of times, we are called to forgive. You had a master who had decided to have a reckoning with everybody who owed him anything, and he had one servant who somehow owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. It's difficult to determine the amount or the value of money in modern terms, ancient money. But 10,000 talents would take 200,000 years of constant labor from your average day laborer to earn. That's 60 million working days in the ancient world. That's equivalent to between 3.5 and 7 billion dollars. Wow. You would have to pay interest at $5 a second for 200,000 years to pay that off. That's an unbelievable debt. That's a debt beyond our imagination. And a debt, quite frankly, that boggles the mind that it could ever be amassed by any one person. Now, the denarius is an amount of money equal to about a single day's work for your average day laborer. And that servant that ended up being forgiven this amazing 10,000 talent debt goes out and sees a man who owes him 100 denarii, 100 days of labor. The debt cost that much money. Now, that's a huge debt, but it's not unimaginable. It's something that someone could actually, over time, handle and pay off. 100 days worth of labor. I mean, that'd take about 3 months and 10 days, and you could pay it off if you worked constantly that entire time. You could do it. So, you know, space it out over 6, 7, 8, 9 months. You could do it. You could pay off 100 denarii debt in a reasonable amount of time. And the one who had been forgiven this amazing $3 billion debt goes out and sees the guy who owes him just a few hundred dollars debt, and he grabs him by the throat and says, "Pay me what you owe me." And the man who owed the small debt said, "Please, Lord, give me chance, time, and I will repay you." And he who had been forgiven so much refused to grant any time, and instead had him thrown into prison until he would pay the debt. Wow. He who had been shown great pity, great mercy by the master, refused to show mercy to one who owed him a small debt. So the master calls in the one who had owed the huge debt and calls him a wicked slave, a wicked servant. "I forgave you so much and you refused to forgive so little? Your entire debt is back on your head." And he had him thrown into prison. And I love how the phrasing puts it here, how Jesus said it. "And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured, until he would pay his entire $3.5 billion debt." Wow. And then this last phrase, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." Wow. Now, notice what's going on in the parable and what it tells us about ourselves. Firstly, we are the servant who has been forgiven so very much. We're the servant who owed the 10,000 talents to the master. We're the servant who owes to God everything, an unimaginable debt. And we go out into our everyday lives and we see people who owe us physical debts, spiritual debts, emotional debts, personal debts, of debts of any kind, people who have sinned against us, who've done us wrong in many different ways. And having been forgiven a massive, unimaginable debt by God, what do? We go out and we refuse to forgive. We hold those debts over their heads. We refuse to forgive and instead demand repayment, demand our pound of flesh back, rather than granting forgiveness. That is what it means for us to refuse to forgive. That is what it means for us to refuse to forgive the debts of those who have done us wrong, to refuse to forgive those who have done ill to us. when we hold those pains, those hurts so close to us and refuse to forgive, we are doing ourselves, in the language of this parable, torture. We're doing ourselves so much more wrong. And the warning that Jesus has for us is a warning we dare not ignore. We will be tortured. We will be handed over in prison until we will pay back every last dime we own and owe. We have to forgive. That first servant who was forgiven an unimaginable debt had to forgive, and he refused. We have been forgiven an unimaginable debt, and we must forgive. And we dare not ever refuse to forgive. Oh, but Greg, some of the things that have been done are horrible. And I just can't let them go. I can't forgive. They refuse to ask for forgiveness. I mean, that's the one nice thing, that both servants begged for time to repay. They begged for time to make everything right. The first one got it. The second one didn't. But they both asked for time to repay. Those people, they don't ask for forgiveness. They don't ask to make it right. Why should we forgive? Because we have been forgiven. When I was a novice in a monastery, one of the most difficult things I had to deal with was the whole idea of holding on to the sins of others, retaining them, refusing to release them. Jesus taught his disciples, the sins of any that you release are released, the sins of any that you retain are retained. If you refuse to forgive, they are not forgiven. But if you forgive in my name, they are forgiven. How dare we, Jesus says here, hold back and refuse to forgive. Be it 3 times or 7 times or 77 times or 490 times, we must always forgive. And if we don't, in the end, we're doing ourselves so much more torture than we can ever imagine. We hurt ourselves, not others. In the prayer time in the monastery, when we dealt with the whole issue of sin that we were holding on to, I learned that when I deal with it, when I think about it, when I consider it, I find myself gripping my hands. And at one point, I gripped my hands so tightly in pain over the sins that someone else had done to me that I found my nails biting into my palms and causing me to bleed. That grip, trying to hang on to those sins, hurt me. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Hanging on to them causes us great torture. Oh, it is so much better to just release them. Let us do that in our own lives. I want you to think for a moment about someone who has wronged you, who has sinned against you, who has done anything to you to hurt you. Doesn't matter if it's still going on or if it's ancient history, if they're alive or they're dead, doesn't matter. Not right now. Just think about them in your mind. I want you to sit where you are and think. And picture in your mind someone who has done you wrong and whose sin you are still hanging on to, still angry about. It is still hurting you today. Now in your mind, I want you to picture their face. And I want you to picture yourself forgiving them. I forgive you for what you did, for what you are doing. Remember Jesus on the cross as they were killing him? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, my friends, picture in your mind someone who has wronged you. And then say to them in your mind, I forgive you. Because Jesus has forgiven me, I forgive you. And as you say that, ball up your fists as you think of them and as you picture them in your mind. And then as you say, I forgive you, open your fists up and let it go so that the sin will not harm you anymore either. Well, so that the sin will not torture you anymore either. I forgive you 7 times, 77 times, 70 times 7 times, eternally and forever, because we have been forgiven. We must forgive. Remember that. Practice that. If you need help to go through the process, I'm here to help you, or there are spiritual friends you may have who can help you to discern those things that you need to forgive, to discern those things you need to ask for forgiveness for, because we owe 100 denarii debts to so many people. I do. We have been forgiven a 10,000 talent debt. Oh, my friends, we must forgive the 100 denarii debt of others. And hear the wonderful good news in the name of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven. Take a moment, as I pray, to consider who you need to forgive, and then forgive them. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person watching here today, participating in this service, every person who has suffered and is hurting now and knows they need to forgive. Gracious Lord Jesus, you have forgiven us so much, an unimaginable debt, and we thank you. Help us to be not like that first servant who went out and held the debt of another, but instead help us to forgive the other. Help us to let go of the sin that has been committed against us. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. I pray for everyone hearing this broadcast today. Send your Holy Spirit to them to empower forgiveness, to strengthen them in their struggle, and to help them to open their hands and release the pain to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.